American music for Thanksgiving Day. And on the theme for Feel Good Friday, first of all, Al Green and Let's Stay Together and the Supremes with Stoned Love. It's 30 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show. Irish sausages and German bratwurst are set to disappear from British supermarkets in new Brexit blow to trade, it's feared. Talks to prevent an EU ban on the importing of chilled meats are likely to fail, according to a trade expert, and the terms of the exit deal in the UK will be required to do the same. At stake is UK exports of sausage meat, uncooked beef burgers and other uncooked prepared products worth tens of millions of pounds a year, but the deadlock could also result in popular EU goods such as Irish sausages and German bratwurst being turned back at ports, while Northern Ireland would be unable to import British prepared raw meat. David Hennig, director of European Centre for International Political Economy, said the talks had failed to achieve a breakthrough, warning it doesn't look like the EU is likely to change their view. He said if the EU has a ban on the imports of chilled sausage meat, mince meat, that will be the UK position as well from the 1st of January because of the way we have rolled over EU law. EU regulations state that uncooked prepared meat products, such as sausages and burgers, can't be imported into the bloc unless they're frozen to minus 18 degrees. The negotiations are aimed at persuading the EU to agree to an export health certificate for such processed meats, but they've failed to make much progress. Ireland is particularly vulnerable because Britain is a vital market, accounting for 335,000 tonnes of beef, pigs, sheep and poultry meat exports, worth £1.3 billion in 2018. Oh, good job, we've got the Emma the Sausage Lady to take care of our sausage needs,
yes,
really.
Yes, exactly.
No need to go any further. Pop quiz.
Yes, today's pop quiz is all American for Thanksgiving. A turkey trot. Have you heard of a turkey trot? It's a foot race that's held on and around a Thanksgiving Day in the United States. America's first turkey trot took place more than a century ago. Have you heard of turkey trots?
I've heard of it. I didn't really know much about it.
Well, the first race included six runners, although only four of them made it to the finish line. One runner dropped out when his late breakfast refused to keep in its proper place, and another simply excused himself after 2 miles. More recently, turkey trots are a much bigger deal. In 2018, more than 1 million people took part, and in 2011, runners in Dallas, they set a world record by dressing up as turkeys. In total, 661 people took part. And Let's Turkey Trot was a hit for who in 1963? And it was used in the film Easy Rider.
No idea.
It was Little Eva. Question number two. On this day in 1939, this American singer was born. She's one of the world's best-selling artists of all time. She's also been referred to as the Queen of Rock and Roll and is one of the most successful female rock and roll artists, receiving 11...
Tina Turner.
Correct, Grammy Awards. And finally, on this day in 1994, this American group started their 14th and final week at number one on the US singles chart with the song I'll Make Love to You. It gave them the longest run in chart history, along with I Will Always Love You.
Boys to Men, is it?
It certainly is. Well done.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Flying by the seat of our pants this morning.
We always do, don't we? That's what makes this job so exciting.
I connected and you hung up.
Well, that's when I realised it was you. Do you find that when you call people, do you have to withhold your number in order to get an answer?
No.
I would imagine you do.
No, I just don't call people.
Oh, okay.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, if you want to have greater call success, maybe you should withhold your number.
Does anyone actually call anyone anymore? Don't they just text each other?
WhatsApp, text, blah, blah, blah. It's all there, isn't it?
Like those texts you send me at the weekend.
Come on.
Help!
You normally,
help! Let me
you
out of
You normally have a Cinzano and then start to fire out some texts in relation to Phil Mickelson, who you seem to have an obsession with.
Seriously, I don't think I've had a Cinzano since I was about 16. Do you like Cinzano?
I haven't had one. I don't think I've ever had one.
It's the bright one. It's the right one. Oh, that's Martini,
isn't it?
I'm
a big apparel fan. I've kept the shorts on and I've kept the apparel flowing throughout the winter.
What, with Prosecco or champagne?
Prosecco, yeah. You know, have you seen the markets? We're in the middle of a pandemic.
That's all right. You can get cheap champagne down at Waitrose, can't you?
Okay, does it make a difference if you have it with champagne?
Well, yes, champagne's slightly more acidic, isn't it? It's got a bit more of a sort of a bite to it than Prosecco.
I do go for a very dry Prosecco, so I think that, I don't know if that helps or doesn't help. The soda water, do you do the soda water?
No.
I knew you wouldn't.
Why dilute it?
Yes.
It's a far cry away from the Dom Pom, though, isn't it? I mean, all those years you were knocking back the Dom Pom, you know, you clapped out Porsche and, you know.
We all have to adapt.
Okay, markets, mixed bag on Wall Street yesterday, weak economic data, but Asia seems to be okay this morning.
Slightly mixed economic data, actually, but it certainly held back equity market rally yesterday. S&P retreated from its all-time high. It was only down 0.16%. The Dow Jones fell back below the 30,000 level. Tech-heavy Nasdaq in its tire. Volumes a little bit weak, as you'd expect. Many traders heading into the Thanksgiving holiday. US data showed the first back-to-back rise in weekly jobless claims since July. A widening of the trade deficit, although there was an uptick in durable goods. Manufacturing housing data still remains robust. Bitcoin, been following that this week, pulled back from near record levels. Tuesday, we're talking about Bitcoin above the $19,000 level. It was down 5% in Asian trading, back in correction territory, down 10% from the recent peak. This morning, trading $17,874. Opening calls on the European bourses looking positive. Currently calling the FTSE up 7 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 12 points. CAC corner Paris up 9 points.
Go on, sir, I told you so.
In relation to Bitcoin?
Yeah, go on, you know, rub it in.
Well, I think it's a very much momentum. It's a sentiment-driven trade. And the big sentiment that I think retail investors tend to focus on is fear of missing out. So they look at the price, they see it rising, they jump on board, just as I think perhaps more canny investors are moving away from it. So I think you have to be very careful.
Yeah, I mean, but if you got in at 19,000 the other day and saw it down to, what, 17,829 this morning, you'd be a bit miffed, really, wouldn't you? I mean,
you would be a bit miffed. It's an incredibly volatile, it's an incredibly volatile gamble.
There was Craig Lewis planning diamond fillings, and that's how settled for amalgam now, isn't he? Really, yeah.
You have to take it down a notch.
The first thing you said to me when we connected this morning was the Chancellor, miserable. He looked quite happy to me. I mean, isn't he already measuring up the curtains for number 10?
That's probably a step he's not really thinking about at this stage, or maybe he is, who knows. But he stood at the dispatch box yesterday to deliver the spending review that illustrated the full extent of the devastation the pandemic has wrecked on the UK economy and the nation's finances. In terms of the economy, no surprise, UK economy suffering the deepest recession in 300 years, 11%. The contraction won't be recovered until late 2022. Greater long-term scarring. Talk about unemployment hitting 7.5% next year. That's actually considerably below our figures. We've got it somewhere around 8.8% by the time that we get through to the second quarter. Yet the money continues to flow. Money to support jobs, £27 billion for infrastructure investment over the course of the next 2 years, although it did cut back on international aid and froze public sector pay apart from NHS workers. In terms of the nation's finances, this is really the distressing part of it. UK borrowing close to £400 billion this year, 19% of output, and a warning around Brexit from the OBR as well. Where are we? 40 days to go before the transition period finishes. No deal yet. Saying if that turns out to be the case, unemployment could peak at 8.3%, longer to recover well into 2023, and deeper long-term scarring.
36 days, actually.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about pregnancy when you're going on about contractions and scarring there. But yeah. Michel Barnier's fired a shot across David Frost's bows, saying he's going to pull out unless there's a fresh shift in Downing Street's position.
There needs to be some high-level interaction in order to resolve these issues. And one would suspect, when you look at the overall risk to the UK economy, but also in terms of what it would mean for Europe, the disagreements around some of the areas, particularly fishing, seems absolutely bizarre, it has to be said. Although, of course, things like the level playing field to make sure that UK companies can't undercut European companies in some key areas is, I think, important and gives them a competitive advantage. The Northern Ireland Protocol is important, and we've, of course, got the US perspective on that under the new administration of Biden administration. So lots of elements to consider around this. But as I say, I still think a deal is the most likely scenario.
Well, when you say, you know, fishing, we've spoken about this before, and it's purely political. There's nothing to do with the economy, because I think there are 20,000 people employed in the UK fishing industry.
Yeah, very small number in terms of people who participate in the fishing industry, and a lot of the sales that the fishing industry make from the UK perspective is into the European
exactly.
Union as well.
It's just about the French going into UK territorial waters to fish, isn't it, really?
Yep.
And if the French aren't happy about that, then they can add a blockade at Calais and really mess things up after the 1st of January anyway.
They can get quite violent, some of these fishing wars, you know. You've got to be careful with
don't
that.
Don't mess with the fishermen.
To be doing that.
Otherwise, you'd like to be slapped across the face with a wet cod. On to Gap. Tough times, really. They're not the brand they used to be, really.
Yeah, Gap was good, wasn't it? Gap, what, 20, 25 years ago, maybe? It was a cool brand, wasn't it? It certainly lost a lot of that luster in recent years. Gap shares slumping nearly a fifth yesterday, despite a 5% rise in like-for-like sales. Results showed the retailer missed quarterly profit estimates and cost surge as it made the shift online. The company also forecast fourth quarter sales will be flat or slightly higher than last year, and warned of pressure on margins from elevated shipping costs as retailers rush to move more merchandise over the holiday season. Store sales declined 20% in the third quarter. Online was good. Sales were up 61% as shoppers stayed at home. They bought things like jogging bottoms, yoga outfits and tops from the likes of Old Navy and Athletica brands. But that came at a cost. Operating expenses jumped 8% in the quarter. Gap reiterated its intention to close several hundred Gap and Banana Republic stores globally.
And HP seems to have weathered the personal computer storm fairly well.
Yeah, shares jumped yesterday 5% this after the PC and printer maker reported record PC sales amid surging demand fueled by remote working and online learning during the pandemic. Sold 19 million PCs, 12 million printers over the course of the quarter. Consumer demand was the key driver, with a sharp increase in premium models, gaming PCs and notebooks, helping to offset weaker business demand. HP said they're confident that demand will remain robust with its new fiscal guidance coming in well above the consensus level.
You're going to turn up tomorrow? You're going to send me another text saying, oh, sorry, I can't make it. A case of Prosecco's just arrived.
A case of Prosecco. I will be here. I'll be with you to finish off the week as always.
All right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar just below 1.34 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.19. €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Talk to you tomorrow then.
Have a good day, sir.
Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lightson has the top stories across the Riviera.
The president of the Outmaritime Department has said that authorities will fight to open the region's ski resorts at Christmas. During French President Emmanuel Macron's address to the nation on Tuesday, the head of state said that he considered it impossible to open winter sports resorts during the festive season due to the health crisis. In the Outmaritime, the winter sports industry creates 5,000 jobs and a turnover of €20 million. The holiday season represents between 20 and 25% of the turnover of ski resorts. Meanwhile, also in reaction to the president's announcement that university students will not return until 2 weeks after high school students, which is planned for the 20th of January, 10 university presidents have warned of a real social and human time bomb, saying that they do not understand the difference in treatment between high school and universities, calling it a double standard, which has caused amazement and anger among academics. In a forum, university presidents denounced differences in treatment with high schools. They claim to have taken emergency measures and say they feel responsible in the face of the COVID-19 epidemic. French Prime Minister Jean Castex is to hold a press conference this morning at 11 a.m. to give more detail on Emmanuel Macron's announcements concerning the new coronavirus measures. Ahead of the Prime Minister's press conference, France's Employment Minister Elisabeth Borne has announced an exceptional aid guaranteeing a minimum monthly replacement income for precarious workers such as seasonal employees. This aid will be paid by Pôle emploi and should concern approximately 300,000 people, including 70,000 young people. According to the minister, current help launched during the COVID-19 pandemic in July by the French government already includes up to €4,000 to companies hiring a young person and €5,000 for an apprentice under 18. The number of people in France stating that they would refuse to be vaccinated against COVID-19 if a vaccine were available in the coming months has been increasing for several weeks. According to the latest ILAB survey, 48% of those polled say they would not get vaccinated if a vaccine against the coronavirus were available in the coming months, a figure up by 2 points from last week. 37% say they are ready to be vaccinated, and 15% say they did not yet know. The Principality of Monaco is participating in an operation to give toys to children affected by Storm Alex. His Serene Highness Prince Albert II and his government have contributed €15,000 to the operation, which aims to give toys for Christmas to almost 600 children aged up to 14 years old. Solidarity Christmas for the Children of the Roya Valley was initiated by the deputy of the Outmara team. The contribution from Monaco should make it possible to offer a gift to each child. Since the storm in early October, Monaco has paid €1 million to each of the affected valleys, the Visibie, Roya, Tinay and the town of Ventimiglia. Several public buildings in Nice, as well as the famous I love Nice sign, turned orange on Wednesday on the occasion of World Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. Nice Mayor Christine Estrosi said that the city's actions to fight domestic violence aren't limited to a single day, but are developed throughout concrete measures throughout the year. He added that Nice provides a telephone hotline as well as emergency response and accommodation facilities. France's Minister of Finance has announced that online technology companies which operate in France will be forced to pay taxes in France rather than elsewhere in the EU. An official from the French Ministry of Finance said that the companies to be subjected to the tax, notably Google, Apple, Facebook and Amazon, have been notified, while French media suggests that the move is likely to put France on course for a first clash with Biden. In the past, France's finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, has called the issue of dealing with digital giants one of the greatest challenges of the 21st century. Finally, Meteo France has warned that Mediterranean episodes characterised by violent storms, with the equivalent of several months of rain in a few hours or days, are expected today and tomorrow in the Pyrenees Orientales and Corsica. Mediterranean episodes occur between 3 to 6 times a year.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
I love you too.
Sorry, I love news. It's a bit early. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Football Argentina has declared 3 days of mourning following the death of national hero Diego Maradona at the age of 60. The former Argentina captain died from a heart attack on Wednesday, 2 weeks after undergoing emergency surgery to remove a blood clot from his brain. Hailed as the greatest footballer of his generation and possibly of all time, Maradona set the world on fire in the 1986 World Cup finals in Mexico, with his side lifting the Jules Rimet trophy. It was during the tournament the infamous Hand of God incident took place, when his goal against England in the quarterfinals was allowed to stand, despite television replays showing a clear handball. He later admitted as much in several television interviews. Maradona's later career in life was blighted by substance abuse and health problems, but he'll always be remembered for his mesmerising skill on the pitch, which thrilled millions and made him internationally famous. In the European Champions League last night, good news for Manchester City, not so good for Liverpool. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Adi Adedoyin at the BBC Sports Centre. Tributes are being paid to Diego Maradona, who has died at the age of 60. The Argentine forward, considered to be one of the greatest of all time, suffered a heart attack at his home in Buenos Aires. The Manchester City manager, Pep Guardiola, gave this reaction after his side's 1-0 win against Olympiacos in the Champions League.
Well, our little boy with my dad sometimes came to Barcelona to see Maradona playing football. It was incredible. Unfortunately, had a blow, a great injury, big injury. And his period was short. When I arrived to the academy, he lives to Napoli. I was not in the locker room with him, but all the people who was with him in the locker rooms expressed how his generosity, his thinking for all of them, defend the position for the to make a better world football. And rest in peace. And in behalf of Manchester City, of course, a big hug for all his family.
The Manchester City manager, Pep Guardiola, there, his side through to the knockout stage of the Champions League with 2 games to spare. The big result of the night was at Anfield, where the 2019 champions Liverpool were beaten 2-0 by Atalanta. The BBC's football correspondent, John Murray, was there.
And Atalanta, beaten 5-0 at home by Liverpool 3 weeks ago, have come here to Anfield and won 2-0, and they've deserved it. And Liverpool have been beaten over 90 minutes at Anfield for the first time for over 2 years. So this group has tightened up now. Liverpool stay top with 9 points, but Ajax and Atalanta are now both on 7. And we'll see what happens next Tuesday night, next in this group, when Liverpool are at home to Ajax.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
What happened?
Oh, don't. Oh. You said I was quietly confident. Excuse me, I wasn't at all.
No, you said you were quietly confident.
I didn't say anything. I said fingers crossed. And
Should have been. You should have been quietly confident, having gone there and thrashed them 5-0.
That's what always happens with Liverpool. You always think they're going to, you know, have a winning streak and then they trip over.
We haven't lost at home for 2 years.
Yeah, OK, 2 years.
It's quite a long time, isn't it, really?
And your slip-up on Maradona and Madonna earlier on in the sports news. Did you know the Australians that thought that Madonna was dead yesterday after mistaking the pop superstars for Argentina football legend Diego Maradona?
Really? There are a stack of ties in the Europa League tonight, including Spurs against Ludogorets Razgrad in Group J, Molde against Arsenal in Group B, Sporting Braga against Leicester in Group G, Sparta Prague against Celtic in Group H, Rangers against Benfica in Group D, and Nice plays Slavia Prague in Group C. In the English Championship last night, Middlesbrough beat Derby 3-0, Millwall and Reading drew 1-1, Bristol City and Watford drew 0-0, Coventry beat Cardiff 1-0, and Swansea and Sheffield Wednesday drew 1-1. In the Scottish Premiership, Hamilton and Aberdeen drew 1-1. Formula One, a cross-party group of 30 British MPs, has called on the sports to leverage Bahrain into respecting human rights. The group has sent a letter to Formula One bosses amid concerns of human rights violations ahead of Sunday's Bahrain Grand Prix. The letter expresses concern that the Grand Prix is used by the Bahrain government to sportswash their human rights record. A spokesman for the Bahrain government said it takes the protection of its citizens' human rights and freedom of expression extremely seriously. Cricket. South Africa say their decision not to take a knee in support of the Black Lives Matter movement ahead of matches in the upcoming series against England has been taken unanimously as a team. The Proteas will wear black armbands as part of the period of national mourning for victims of gender-based violence and the coronavirus pandemic, and the South Africa Cricket Board says the decision does not indicate it doesn't care about racism. The first of three T20 internationals against England is being played tomorrow ahead of a three-match one-day international series. And in tennis, the Australian Open is likely to be delayed by a week or two, according to Victoria's sports minister. COVID-19 quarantine regulations in the state mean that players may not be allowed in until the end of December at the earliest. The Australian Open is due to be staged between the 18th and 31st of January, but sports minister Marcin Pakula says it's likely to be delayed for a week or two. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almeria Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,030 millibars, stationary over the Pyrenees. Winds are east-northeasterly, force 4 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, cloudy, force 4 to 6, northeasterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southeasterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,021 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, showers, force 3 to 5. Southeasterly winds, slight to moderate seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Coming quite cloudy today, moderate easterly winds, top temperature 16 degrees, overnight lows 12 degrees on the coast, 8 degrees inland with cloudy skies. Friday and the start of the weekend, mainly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 16, rain for most of Saturday with a high of 15 degrees. Thought it was too good to be true.
Are Marseille out of the Champions League?
Probably.
Yeah.
They lost 2-0 last night.
They did lose last night. I think that's them gone. Anyway, finally, the birth of a COVID casual. A lockdown has changed people's habits for good, as a quarter of people in the UK admit they no longer shower daily or bother using deodorant, and 61% of workers swap their suits for pyjamas. Britons are less likely to shower daily, style their hair or bother with their general appearances as a result of coronavirus pandemic. That's according to new research. The decline of formality means that they're more likely to be found unshaven with unkept hair and a face free of makeup, which many admit they will now only apply for a Zoom meeting. Since the start of the pandemic, some 61% of workers say they wear business clothes less often, with 35% admitting it to staying in pyjamas all day. Among young women, half, 52%, are wearing less makeup than usual, and 6 in 10 females said they have kicked off their heels in favour of casual footwear.